And we're going to look at verses 14 and following, talking about Lydia, the seller of purple, the fortune teller, the soothsayer lady, and the two men of God witnessing. And so that's three messages in one, so y'all might get out at 3 o'clock today, amen? So don't want to scare you. Awesome. Praise the Lord, y'all with me. Only a quarter of you were, amen? Well, we'll be in Acts chapter 16, and we'll talk about that, and talk about Paul and Silas and their work that they did, and then coming under attack. For their work for the Lord. But Acts chapter 16, and verses 14 through 34, would you pray with me? Pray with me for my throat. Thank you. Our Father and our God, we just say thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Lord, thank you for the excitement and the atmosphere, Lord. Thank you for Jameson, the praise team, and Father, just all that went on today with the music, Lord, and singing and sign language. And Father, this is excitement time to be in God's house. And Lord, I just thank you so much for what you're doing in the midst, Lord. Thank you for this amazing team that you put together here. Lord, thank you for all the guests and visitors, Lord, that came our way this morning. Father, we thank you for them. We pray a special blessing upon them, Lord, that they received today. Father, as we open up your word, may your word go forward. May it accomplish that which is pleasing and an honor to you. Lord, may it convict where it needs to convict. May it need to cut where it needs to cut. May it pierce where it needs to pierce, Lord. May we be changed individuals, Lord. May we not be the same as what we walked in here as. And Lord, I thank you this morning for the verse of scripture that was shared with me, Lord, and it came out in these songs, Lord, that to be swift to hear and slow to speak and less to anger and slow to anger. Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for the message behind those words and in those songs, Lord, and in those verses. Father, I pray that we can apply what we hear today to our heart, and Father, that we'll be open and receptive to receive your word. Father, to bind up Satan, his demons, and workers, and cast them outside of here. Lord, let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our lives today. Lord, would you touch my voice in a way that only you can do to deliver your message this morning. Father God, we thank you for what you're going to do. We give you praise. We give you honor. Father, this is your day. We give it to you. We ask your anointing to be upon it. Anoint your word. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 I got a bottle here and a bottle with my wife. So hopefully we can make it through today. Acts chapter 16 and verses 14 and following says this. Send a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, and besought her masters much gain by soothsaying, by fortune telling. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. I'm going to get back to that, because here she is, a soothsaying lady that is working for Satan, but yes, she knows about Scripture. Yes, she knows about what God is doing, but it's in a point where it's a mockery, as she is mocking what they're doing. It said, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and they drew them or dragged them into the marketplace unto the rulers or the authorities, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates went off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison, and made their feet and fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to that were all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. When I thought about this, I thought about the several things in this passage of Scripture. One, we're dealing with Lydia, a seller of purple. Two, we're dealing with a soothsayer, a fortune teller here, a lady. And then two men of God witnessing. And as I go about that and I thought about that, I want you to look back at verse 14. There are some important things that I want us to pick up on today. In verse 14, number one, if you're taking notes, Lydia's heart was opened by the Lord. There's only one person in this world. There's only one person that can come into your heart. There's only one that can open up your heart and my heart, and it's the Lord. He's the only one that can bring us conviction. He's the only one that it tells us, unless the Spirit of God draw man, man can't come unto him. So it's only one way, and it's through the Spirit of the Lord. There's only one way that our heart gets opened up, our minds and things of that nature, to comprehend what God wants to do in your life and my life, and it comes through the Lord. Look back at verse 14. It said, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. It said, now which worshipped God, heard us, and whose heart the Lord opened. That tells me that this lady was in the house of God. It says she was one that worshiped, one that was there every Sunday, one that heard God, one that had a knowledge of God, that sat under God's teaching often. And it said, in this point, it says, one which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. You know, that's the reason we never take for granted who's in God's house. We could be worshiping. I've seen people come to know the Lord at 70, 80, 90 years old. You just never know what God has in store for people. So we have to preach God's word and teach the word of God. It said this lady right here worshiped God, who heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. It's the Lord's business. It's the Lord's dealing that convicts you and me. It's him that opens up our heart. It's him that guides us, directs us, and leads us. Or it should be him that we are allowing to guide us, direct us, and lead us in the path that we should go. We should be willing to follow the Spirit of God and what God says. And if we follow God's word and we follow God's Spirit and we allow the Lord to open up our hearts, we can never go wrong. We can never go wrong. But you got to be careful on who you listen to. You got to be careful on what you listen to. You got to be careful on who you're following and what you're following. You better make sure that it lines up with the Word of God, that it lines up with the direction that God wants you and I to go in. And that's what we need to do based on that. So we see here was Lydia. We see she was in the city of Thyatira. We see that she worshiped God and said, and heard us, the heart, the Lord opened up. It was the Lord. And then I want you to see something else. As a result of Lydia's decision, she was baptized, her and all that lived in her house. So in verse 15, it says, and when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying. So not only did God begin to do a work in Lydia's heart, not only did God open her heart, but as a result of her heart being an opening, it turned into her whole household being able to be saved and baptized. And that's what I've seen several times. Sometimes it takes children coming to Vacation Bible School or Children's Church or Sunday School that get saved, and they go home and they start pestering mom and daddy and telling them what they've heard about the Lord and what God is doing. Sometimes it takes a youth. Sometimes it takes a teenager. Sometimes it takes a spouse, a husband or a wife that God begins to deal with, and they give their heart and life to the Lord, and then they take that home and then they live that before their spouses. They live that before their children, and before too long, praise God, the whole family is saved, the whole family is baptized, the whole family is in church, and God begins to do an amazing work in their life. And we've seen that time and time again, and you see that in here. Not only was Paul and them going and preaching God's word and teaching God's word, they were out doing the Lord's business, and by doing the Lord's business, it caused some trouble in the town. And I can tell you, any time that you and I step out on faith and begin to do God's business, you're going to step into opposition. And unfortunately, sometimes Sometimes it might come from your church family. Sometimes it might come from your personal family. Sometimes it might come from your children. Sometimes it might come from your spouse. But understand, anytime you step out in faith, you're going to face opposition. But you're going to see here that Paul and Silas didn't back up. Even though they faced opposition, they didn't stop. Even though they tried to silence them and throw them into a prison, it didn't stop them from singing praises and preaching God's word. And that's what you and I need to understand. We might be under attack, and there might be opposition that comes your way or my way, and it could come in various forms, but it should not deter us. It should not derail us. We should stay focused and our eyes on Jesus to get his word accomplished and his job done. Don't let it go to you. All right, here we are. So we see in this, in verses 16 and 18, we see number two, if you're taking notes, now they've run into the fortune teller, and they had her in and released a spirit of divination against them. Look at verse 16 through 18. It said, and it came to pass, as they went to pray, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, by fortune teller. And the same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God. Can you see them right now? Can you see that this woman, this damsel, this demon-possessed woman, knew? She knew that they were of the Lord. She knew that they was preaching God's word. Can you see her going around mocking them? Can you see Brother John and what's your name, Mark? Get up. This is Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas are walking along. Start preaching Jesus. Telling people about Jesus. And here comes this damsel saying, hey, look at them two. And them two are men of God. Listen, they're going around preaching that the salvation is of the Lord. Going around, salvation is of the Lord. And they start messing with them. This lady's following them around. That's good. Y'all can go sit down. Start following them around. Start following around. Start leading them and say, hey, these are men of God. Hey, look at them. You know, they're sitting there preaching and they're praying and they're teaching God's word. But guess what? As Mark and Brother John did, it didn't deter them from walking and telling people about Jesus. It didn't deter them from doing that, even though she was mocking them. And it said here, it said, and then the same followed Paul and us in verse 17 and cried then saying, these are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul being grieved, Paul being annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And it came out the same hour. Hear this fortune teller. She was possessed with a demon and working for Satan and had a knowledge that Paul and Silas were servants of the high God. It tells us in James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They know, my friends, the spirit that was in here, in her, even though it's a demonic spirit, knew that Paul and Silas were men of God. And I'm telling you today, the spirit and the demon that have possessed people today, they know. They know the power of God. They know the men of God. They know the women of God and the kids of God. And my friend, they do the same thing as they did in Paul and Silas. They'll come and mock you. They'll come and ridicule you. They'll come, my friends, and try to stamp out what God is doing in the life of you and the life of the church. But that's when we need to band together, pray together. That's when we don't need to be discouraged. That's when we need to be like Paul and Silas. Join arm in arm, link arm in arm together, singing praises to the Lord, singing joy to his name. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're feeling, you're shackled down and bogged down and burdened down today. Jesus wants to release those shackles from your life today. If you'll let him, he wants to loose you, set you free, my friend, so that you're free indeed. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. So we see, here was this lady, and my friend, she was sitting there, and she was mocking them. Oh, that was the wrong thing to do with Paul and Silas. Because they gave him a little bit of Jesus. She got a little bit of the Holy Ghost that day. That changed her life, my friends. Paul got tired of her. She annoyed him. And he turned around and gave her some Jesus. He said, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her. and it left her. And what did it do? It troubled the city. It troubled the people that owned that lady for her soothsaying and fortune telling. They got angry. They got mad. Look what it says in verse 3, and or number 3. They accused and beat and cast into prison Paul and Silas was for doing the work of the Lord. So number 3, they were accused and beat and cast into prison for doing God's work. When you look back at verse 19 through 21, it says, and when her masters saw that the hope of the games was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them or dragged them into the marketplace unto the rulers, unto the magistrates, unto the authorities, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. We see here that they were accused. They were accused of doing good for people. They were accused for being there preaching God's word. They were accused for casting out a demonic spirit and the danceful lady that was telling fortune telling. And my friends, they were accused because it cost the master some money. He didn't have no money coming from this no more. And so when he got mad, he began to accuse them. And that's the same thing that happens today in this day and time. My friend, when you start standing on the word of God, you start proclaiming the word of God, and God starts moving in a great mighty way, be ready for the attack to come your way. Be ready for them to accuse you. Be ready. But my friends, be like Paul and Silas did. Be encouraged that when the accusing comes, when the accusation comes, you can stand on the rock of Jesus and it won't move, my friends. You have all the angels and God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that is protecting you if you don't bend, my friend. And when it comes to God's word, there is no compromise in the word of God. There is none. Stand on the word of God. And if it was preached like that more in pulpits today, we wouldn't have a problem with America. We wouldn't have a problem with the things that we face today. But we've got to stick on the basis. You've got to stand on the word of God. And Paul and Silas did that. My friend, even though they were persecuted, even though they were accused, even though verse 22 says a multitude rose up against Paul and Silas, and they tore the clothes off of them, and they beat them. They were beaten for doing good. They were unclothed and beaten publicly. They were beaten unlawfully. They were cast into prison and shackled in verse 23 and 24. Said, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, and they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them securely or safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Here they were. They were beaten for doing good. They were unclothed and beaten publicly. They were beaten unlawfully. They were cast into prison and shackled. Their feet were shackled fast. Their liberty was taken away. And my friend, that is exactly what people do. My friend, unfortunately, across America, just as Paul and Silas experienced it, you and I will when you stand up for Jesus. There be those that persecute you. There be those that browbeat you. There be those that'll beat you down. When you're down, they want to be there to stomp you a little bit lower. But be like Paul and Silas. Be like Paul and Silas. Be brave for the Lord. Be outspoken for Him. Be bold in Jesus, my friends, and stand fast on the word of God. You might come against opposition, and it will come if you're doing something profitable for the ministry. You will face that. There will be folks that will be angered. There will be those that come against you. Maybe not you. Maybe it's just a pastor thing. I don't know. There be there. You'll get that later. There be there. There be there. They'll be singing, my friend, like a canary. And it won't be a good song. It won't be one of the ones Jamer was singing or Tammy or Sharon. But they'll come to you and they'll do that stuff. They're angered or they're under conviction and they want to take it out on you. Tell them to take it out with Jesus. Tell them to bring it to the altar and give it to the Lord. Tell them to take it out on Jesus. Give it to Him. And I know I'm going to do this because I want to see how much I can damage you. I'm going to do this because I want to see how much I can hurt you. I want to do this because I want to see how much I can hurt your church. That's what I'm going to do. But it doesn't need to read up Proverbs chapter 7 about the 7 deadliest sins, because they're treading on some dangerous ground and I don't want to be in their shoes. Oh, we need to be encouraged even when that comes. Don't strike back. Be like Paul and Silas. Be encouraged to stand strong on the word of God. Be encouraged to keep preaching what God's told you to preach. And let the power of God take care of those that need to be taken care of. Oh, they were accused and beat and cast into prison for doing the Lord's work. Not only that, but number four, Paul and Silas began praying and singing at midnight. They began praying and singing at midnight in verse 25. Now here they are. They just been through all that I told you. Been with Lydia, who was in the house of God, who the Lord opened her heart, and her household got saved. And then the soothsaying ladies mocking them. The fortune tellers following them around. Then they cast out the demon out of them. And then they just got called up by her masters. Beaten and stripped and mocked and everything. Cast into prison. In the deepest part of the dungeon. Keep them secure and safe. The Philippian jailer received that. And said the only thing is I'm going to fasten their feet and stocks to the floor. Not only that, they did all that. And then look at verse 25. It said, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They had a congregation of inmates. They heard them praying and singing. Even though they faced all that, there was still a song in their heart. They still could praise the Lord, even though you might be going through something, even though something might be happening. There might be a disease that's come upon you. It might be cancer. You might be going through an addiction of alcohol and drugs. I don't know. There might be something going on in your relationship with your spouse or your children or what have you. All I can tell you is stand strong in the Lord. And as Paul and Silas did, they began to sing praises. They began to praise the Lord. They began to pray. And you'll see what God done in a minute. Oh, they began to do that stuff. My friends, and that's why I tell you, my friends, stay strong in the Lord and do what God has called you to do. Don't give in, my friend. Don't give up. Let the power of God minister to you as it did to Paul and Silas. Even though they went through all that, they began praying and singing at midnight. And they had a congregation of inmates that heard them praying and singing. If there was ever anybody that needed the Lord, it was in a jail cell. Amen. And God can deliver them. And my friend, and they knew that. It didn't stop them from doing what they did. And you look at number five. God opened a prison with an earthquake to set his captives free. Look at verse 26 and 27. It said, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's hands were loosed. And the keeper of the prisoner waking out of sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. We see here that God opened the prison with an earthquake to set us free. God shook the foundation of the prison. He shook the building. He shook the doors open. God shook everyone's shackles and bands loose. They were loosed by God's power. They were loosed by God's will. They were unbound and set free by the mighty hand of God. My friend, I don't know what you're going through today, but God knew that you was going to be here. I don't know what you got bound in you. I don't know what's shackling you down, but I know that I serve a Jesus that's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he wants to loose you and set you free today. He wants to loose you and set you free today. Be like Paul and Silas. Stand up and give it to the Lord. Don't bend. Don't break. Don't bow. Take a stand for the Lord. He wants to loose you and set you free today. I don't know what's bound you down. I don't know if it's your spouse, it's your children, it's your job, it's family, it's a disease, it's something. Give it to the Lord today and let him release you from that suppression. Let him release you from the bound and being bound down and being shackled to it. Oh, listen to me. It's like Mark. He was a sheriff at one time, and he'd come up there and he'd tell people to spread them out and pat them down or whatever and cuff them and hold their hands tight and hold them together and bound them up. My friend, I don't know what's got you held together today. I don't know what's got you bound up, but you got bound up and Jesus is wanting to set you free and Satan's wanting to pull you back. No. Satan's wanting to pull you back. Jesus wanting to set you free and Satan's wanting to pull you back. I don't know what's got you bound down, but let Jesus set you free. Let him set you free today. Let him set you free. Give it to him. Give it to him today. Let him brush off the shackles and the chains from you. He wants to set you free. Oh, not only that, but the open shackles signified their freedom. In verses 29 through 34, so then he called for a light, and he sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." It doesn't matter what you're shackled down with today. It doesn't matter what's got you strapped and bound. Jesus wants to loose you and set you free. "And thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house. And it took them the same hour in the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his house, straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all the house. The open shackles signified freedom. At first, in that verse 29, it says he called for a light. He called for a light. All you need to do to be loosed and set free today and to be saved or whatever it is call for a light. Call on Jesus. He tells us in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He wants you to call, just like the Philippian jailer called for a light. Jesus wants you to call for him today. You might be in the darkest dungeon somewhere, but I'm telling you, Jesus wants to be your light today. He wants to light your world up. Call for the light today. Give it to the Lord. Not only that, but in verse 30, there was a request. He said, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" There was a question. There was a request. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Oh, listen to me. It reminded me of the story of Nicodemus. And when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he asked a question. And you remember the story in John 3. In verses 1 through 7 said, "There was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, 'Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him.' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' And Nicodemus saith unto him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh and that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again.'" Jesus faced the same thing with Nicodemus. The question was asked, "How do I be born again? What can I do?" And Jesus responded just like Paul and Silas did. Says, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved." Just as Jesus responded to Nicodemus, he said, "You must be born again." My friends, that's the same thing he's saying to us today. We see that. Not only that, but there was a response given in verse 31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." You can understand that when you call upon the Lord, you have a question or something going in your life. When you give it to the Lord and you call upon him, my friend, he will give a response. He will help you. He will lead you in the way that you need to go. If you have belief in him. And there was a response given in verse 31 in 1 Peter 3:15. He said this in 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready also to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." When somebody has a question and they have come to you and want to know something, be ready to give them a response. Be ready to talk to them. Be ready. Scripture says be ready in season and out. Be instant. Be ready to give a response, folks, and because people are needing that at that time. The end result of that response was that it led everyone in the Philippian jailer's house to get him saved. Look at verse 32 and 34 through 34. It said, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and were baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. The end result led that God set them free to preach the gospel. He set them free to serve him. He set them free to win the lost. God blessed them and set them free from all that they experienced, my friend, to witness for him. And because they stood strong in that, because they stood strong in preaching the word in the synagogues and wherever they were, that it began to pierce a lady's heart named Lydia, a seller of purple, that her heart was opened up by the Lord. She gave her life to the Lord. It resulted in the whole household being saved. And then as that, they were mocked about what they did. They were mocked for the good that they did. And this lady with the divination spirit, the demonic spirit was in here. The soothsayer went around mocking them. These two men are servants of the Lord, servants of God of the Most High. And then Paul turned around, or Silas, which one? And they cast out the demon out of her. And then they were caught for doing good. They were beaten. They were ridiculed. They were marked. They were thrust into a prison, my friends, to silence them. But they didn't stay there long. God had another plan in store for them. They wasn't silenced very long because they knew that there were people in the jail cell that needed Jesus, and they started preaching the word to them. They started singing and praying and praising God, and they heard it. And then God sent an earthquake to deliver you and me. Hold on. God will fight your battles and my battles. Give them to the Lord. He'll send an earthquake to deliver you, just as he did Paul and Silas. He'll deliver you from that, my friends, and deliver them. And as soon as they got out, they went on their way. They led, before they even got out, they led a Philippian jailer to the Lord and was doing God's business, my friends. And the results were, it led to them, the Philippian jailer's house getting saved. Not only that, but the last thing. True freedom, number 7. True freedom is only found in the Lord Jesus. True freedom is only found in the Lord Jesus. We look for freedom in so many places. My friend, Jesus wants you to turn to him. He wants you to look to him for your freedom. He wants you to look to him to release those bonds and shackles that you're bound down with today. True freedom only is found in the Lord Jesus. In John 8 and verse 32, and following, it says this. In John 8, in verse 32 and following, it says this. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you should be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. My friend, listen to me. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's got you bound down. I don't know. I don't know. You could be like Lydia, a seller of purple, that knew God, that worshiped the Lord. And then God reached down and tapped on that shoulder and opened up that heart. Opened up so she can hear. Oh, listen to me. I don't know what you need to hear today. But if you open up your ear, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, I believe it says, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up, I will come in and abide with him and him with me. Oh, what is it that the Lord's standing there knocking today? What is it? What is it that he's standing there knocking on your heart's door? What is it that he's knocking on? Telling you, hey, listen, I want to share something with you. Hey, listen, open up your heart. I'm talking to you today. Listen, open up. I'm talking to you today. Listen, listen. What is it? What is it he's telling you? He's standing at your heart's door knocking and say, listen, open up. Open up. I got something for you. Open up. Open up. Open up. Open up. What is it today that he's telling us? He wants you to open up, to be obedient, to hear him. Oh, maybe your loved one maybe your spouse, maybe your children, or God's been calling them to do something, and maybe you're saying, no, no. Maybe it's like when I first answered the call to go into the ministry. My wife said, I didn't marry a pastor. I didn't marry a preacher. Maybe God's calling you into that. But how amazing my wife has been since God's called us both into ministry. And how supportive she's been of me. But it didn't start out that way. She knew the time. And she knew what it was going to take to be in the ministry. She's seen that with my family and some of hers. I didn't marry a preacher. But I couldn't marry a better wife to make her a preacher's wife than what I did. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're in that situation. I don't know. But Jesus is knocking on the heart's door and say, open. Open your ears, open your heart. I got something I want to tell you. Maybe he's sitting there saying, I love you. I love you. I want to come in your heart and be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe he's doing that. Maybe he's speaking to your heart and say, listen, you've been coming here for a while. You need to get plugged into a church home that you can call your home. And maybe he's telling you to join our fellowship. This church would love to be your family. I'd love to be your pastor. Maybe he's speaking to your heart that you need to relinquish something at this altar and let him break the bonds of chains that's got you shackled down. Turn them loose and let God set you free. Let him set you free today. What is it he's dealing with you about? I encourage you, come and give it to the Lord today. Come and give it to him. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe you've taken a lot of things for granted. Will you do me a favor? Will you look at your folks that are beside you and say, I love you? There's nobody beside you, so I'm going to tell you, I love you. When you look and say, I love you in Jesus. Will you say, I love you in Jesus? Look at each other. I want you to do something that maybe it's been a year since you've done this. Are y'all with me? Husband and wife, are y'all with me? Amen. It might have been a year since you've done this. But look at your wife. Hug her. Put up your arms. Hug each other. Y'all a bunch of fuddy duds in here. If y'all get the love of Jesus in you, maybe everything else at the house will be a little bit better for you. Take your spouse. Don't stop because y'all ain't did what I asked. Hug your spouse. Look at one another and say, I love you. Now, something more than that, give them a kiss. Give them a kiss. I say, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. Come here, honey. Come here, honey. Come here, honey. Come here. I said for you to hug your spouse. I seen this. Then I said to tell your spouse you love them.
Love you.
I love you. Then I said give your spouse a kiss, and some of y'all went. To give your spouse a kiss means, okay, let them know you love them. Now we're going to try this one more time. Are y'all with me? Turn to your spouse. Tell them you love them. And give them a kiss in Jesus. Amen. I don't know, make you feel much better. Say, I ain't never been to church before for a love lesson in Jesus. Amen. Even come down from the stage and give them a kiss. Amen. Oh, listen to me. That's what Jesus wants to do with you today. That's what Jesus wants to do with you today. He's telling you, I love you. He's telling you, I love you. He's telling you he wants to be married to you. He's telling you he appreciates you. He loves you. He wants to hear from you. When's the last time you talked to him? When's the last time you opened up your heart to him? When's the last time you opened up your ear to him? Again, will you be sensitive to the Holy Spirit today? Will you stand with